Thank you for being here tonight. Ooh, that's really sounds. This is our last class on Lord Teach Us to Pray. Well, I'm getting a little echo on that. There you go. And tonight we end with perhaps the question that was first on your mind. When God says blank to your prayers, when God says yes, when God says no, wait a while, when God says no, what should our response be? We're going to try to look at that through Scripture tonight, and I got a long train to pull, so I hope that you will follow along and that you'll make comments as well. Many of you have made comments concerning the class this quarter, and I really appreciate that. I know it's helped me in my prayer life, and I hope it's helped you too. And Mark and I were talking today, and I said one of the things that when you study this for a long period of time, it makes it easier to want to pray for other people. Hopefully we can remove the taboo of, one preacher asked somebody, can I pray for you? Am I that bad, preacher? it takes away that. It's not. It's just the idea that we just need to pray, and we need to talk to God. And so hopefully that has been the case. I can only imagine the hundreds of prayers in the last 3 months that have been offered to God and answered, or perhaps in the process of answering. And in regards to that, I want to thank you for your prayers for Lisa. This past week, we got the pathology report. Everything turned out well. They got everything that they needed to get. And so she is sore, but she is doing better. For all of you, for your prayers, for those who brought food, for the calls and the cards, we thank you so, so very much. We felt your presence, and that means a great deal. That God hears and answers the prayers of his children are clearly seen in Scripture. Again, we won't turn to these, but I'll just put these down, and if you want to write them in, the Bible says there's so many things that could be said about that. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We talked about God's telephone number. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. James, the brother of our Lord, in James chapter 1, verse 5, said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, not grudgingly, but liberally, and without reproach, and it will be given him. Or again, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, talking about God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions asked of him. Early in our study, we talked about that phrase, according to his will. And there's the key point. That it's not, I get what I want, but it's according to his will. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But sometimes what we may be praying for is not the will of God. And so he may be saying no because it's not the best thing for you. How many of you have said no to your children or teenagers when they were growing up because what they were asking was not the best thing for them? Let me see a raise of hands. Yeah, every one of us. We're the bad guys. That's okay. You know, sometimes it's not the idea we want to be their friends, but we have to be a parent. And sometimes that means we know that what they're asking has too many question marks or too many red flags, as the statement is. And they can't see that. I don't remember who it was, but maybe a month or so ago, somebody was giving a Wednesday night devotional, and especially was speaking to the teenagers, and was talking about this very thing. I wish I could remember who it was. It made such an excellent point that he was basically saying, folks, realize, talking to the teenagers, that they love you, and it's because they love you that they say no. And that you need to understand that they have the ability and the knowledge, often through actions and bad decisions themselves, to know that what you're wanting isn't the best thing. And I thought that was such a good point that was made. We talked about the idea of Jesus as our high priest and the idea that he intercedes. What's an intercessor? When we use that word, what does that mean? Someone who goes to bat for you. I like that. Yeah. Someone that stands on your behalf. John calls him an advocate, a lawyer. And that was the case. And you may recall the point that we made that the Bible says that where is Jesus in regards to God in heaven? Where is he sitting? The right side of God. But the Bible also tells us that he is the mediator. He is the intercessor. And the point was that when our prayers come to the throne of God, Jesus gets up from his seat and stands between God and us and intercedes on our behalf. Well, how good of a job does he do? Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmities, our weaknesses. In all points, he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, not afraid, boldly, unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's on our side. He wants to do the right thing for us. He wants to help us. So, some of the other scriptures to talk about how God hears and answers our prayers. But how does he answer them? Well, first of all, sometimes God says yes to our prayers. Let's turn quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Our last class, we sort of go back to where we began. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And somebody read for us verses 15 through, or verses 12 through 15. 1 Samuel 1, 12 through 15. Someone read that for us. Okay, now Hannah didn't have a child. She had desired to have a child, and she was basically saying, God, if you will allow me and Elkanah to have a child together, a man child, I will give him to you all the days of his life. I wonder today if a couple came together and if they made that promise before God. God, if you will allow us to have this child, we will do all that we can to make sure that he is in the service of the Lord. You think God might hear that prayer in a little bit more special way? It's sort of interesting that, you know, that's exactly what she did. And if you go down to chapter 2, verse 21, you see that God kept on blessing her. God kept on saying yes. Because they end up with 3 sons and 2 daughters. So they got more than they bargained for. She asked for one, and she got 4 more. I heard a story about this little boy who was the only child in the family. And he came to his daddy, and he said, I sure would like to have a brother, somebody that I could play with. He said, well, have you prayed to God about it? He said, well, no. He said, well, you need to pray to God. That, you know, maybe he'll give you a brother that you can play with and that you can love. Well, as the story goes, he prayed that for a while, but then he sort of got discouraged and he quit. And then the news came that his mom was going to have a baby. And so at the appropriate time, the mom went to the hospital. And when she came back several days later, she came back home not with one boy, but with two. She had had twins. And as they came in for the very first time, and the big brother was getting to see his little brothers for the very first time, the daddy said, "Well, aren't you glad that you talked to God about wanting to have a brother? And he gave you not one, but two." And the little boy said, "Aren't you glad I quit praying?" He kept on blessing her. And the Bible says that when God says yes, He does not only what we ask, but sometimes even more. Psalm 118, verse 5. "I called upon the Lord in distress." There's some in this audience that know something about that. In a time of distress. "The Lord answered me," and listen to this, "set me in a large place." I like that. He didn't just put a little place for, He put you in a big place. Gave you far more than what you asked for. God sometimes does that. Psalm 138, verse 3. "In the day when I cried, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." Psalm 6, verse 9. "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." And then there's Matthew chapter 7. And sometimes we talk about this in a different way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 and verse 11. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." And then he continues. "For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened." And then he says in verse 11. "If you then being evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" So, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Somebody says, "Well, Don, I did ask. I did keep on seeking. I did keep on knocking." Because this is a story about the fella that has a visitor at nighttime, at midnight. And he didn't have any food for him. And so he goes next door to his neighbor's house and he knocks on that door. And the story is the story, if you remember the story in the Bible, the fella basically says, "I don't want to really get up, but you keep on bugging me, you keep on bothering me." And so you finally give them what they need. And he says, "If it's an imperfect person that's willing to do that, how much more will God be willing to do that for you, for those who ask Him?" But this isn't an ultimatum. This isn't a promise at all costs. Because sometimes we may ask, and sometimes we may seek, and sometimes we may keep on knocking. And sometimes we may not get the answer that we're looking for. But again, if it's according to His will, then we have, because we want to do the will of God. You see that verse, some people will quote it and say, "Well, see, God's going to give me anything I want." No, it's not like Burger King. Not like McDonald's. You place your order and you come around and there it is waiting on you. It's not that way. Because sometimes what we may be asking for may be the worst thing for us. Habakkuk chapter 2, I think, talks about the idea that God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither does He tempt and test other men. He's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. He's not going to give you something that will be against His goodness, against what would be best for you. He doesn't have that ability. And so we need to keep that in mind, that this isn't a promise at all costs, but that the Bible does promise that He will hear and answer our prayers according to His will. Somebody said, "Keeping your day hemmed in with prayer will less likely cause you to unravel." There's something to be said for that. Pray continually. Now, I do think we talked one week about the idea of God changing his mind. And sometimes there are times in the Bible when it seems to that God did change his mind. 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah. Bible said that God sent a prophet to him, said, put your house in order, you're going to die. So what does Hezekiah begin to do? According to the Bible, what did Hezekiah do? He began to pray, and he prayed continually. It wasn't just a one-time thing. And the Bible tells us that the prophet came back and made the statement. He says, God has heard your prayers and seen your tears. Psalm 56 talks about putting our tears into a bottle that God knows the number of. You ever prayed with tears? Yeah. I'm sure you have. Hezekiah said God saw them. God heard his prayers. God saw his tears. He knows that much about us. And on this occasion, he says, I'm going to heal you and add 15 more years. You ever stop to think about what would you do if you knew you had 15 more years to live? That's a big question, isn't it? If God guaranteed you 15 more years, which is what he did to Hezekiah, what would you do with your life? Interesting to think about. We don't have that promise, but on this occasion he did. Well, when God answers our prayers, what should we do? When God does answer our prayers, when God says yes, what should we do? Thank him. What else? Worship and praise him. Very true. Somebody turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, because that's exactly what he says there. We should thank him for listening to us. We should thank him for answering our prayers according to his will. And then, as you say, we should be grateful to him and offer and exalt his name for the kindness and for the goodness that he did. Somebody read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything is basically what he's saying. It's easier said than done, but that's what he says. But in everything, how? By prayer, pouring out your soul, like Hannah, pouring out your heart to God, and supplication, request. Be specific in what you're asking for. But then he says, you immerse it with thanksgiving. It's not just, God, I want this, I want this, I want this. Ronnie, what was Brother Wright's name there at North Carolina? First name? Mike, remember? You know, he had hair like Abraham Lincoln, I think. Who? Tommy Lee Wright. Some of you may have known him. When Brother Tommy Lee Wright was called on to lead prayer or would be leading the prayer, you could guarantee. One time I took the time to listen. 13 times in that short prayer, God, we're thankful. Over and over and over again. He named so many things that he was thankful for. A fella in his 80s, great fella, humble fella. And when I think about thanksgiving, I think about that. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 4. I will extol you, that is, lift you up, for you have lifted me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you. You healed me. O God, you brought my soul from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Okay, secondly, When God answers our prayer and says no, wait a while. Because there may be times when he's going to do that. Luke chapter 1 talks about John the Baptizer's parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias. What do we know about those older people? What kind of qualities do they have? I'm sorry? They were faithful servants of God. They walked in all the ordinances of the Lord blameless. You could not find something that you could point out and say, look at what they do wrong. It wasn't there. But it also tells us that she was barren and they were up in years. Two strikes against them. She didn't have the ability to produce a child, and they were also well advanced in years. Yet, he's chosen as a priest, the tribe of Aaron, to be able to go into the temple. And as he is burning incense in the temple, verse 13, the Bible tells us that an angel comes to him and he says, your prayer is heard and you shall have a child. Now, I can't imagine that that was the first time that he'd ever prayed that prayer. Do you? I can imagine he prayed that regularly. He had two strikes against him. Age and the inability to produce a child on her part. And yet that did not keep him from praying. In essence, God said, wait a while. And then he was blessed with this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 11, this idea of waiting a while is found there. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. His point is this, God works in his time, not necessarily ours. And sometimes he is working things out so that at the end of the situation, when he finally grants our prayer, the only thing you can say is, I just can't understand this. How in the world did God do this? That's the point that he's making there in verse 11. Mankind can't, you know, you've heard the idea when you cannot trace his hand, then you trace his heart, talking about God. If we could figure it out, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, and you do this, and you do this, and we get this, a lot of people would say, who needs God? I got it figured out. But there's so many things in this life that we can't do that with. Illnesses and children and so many other things. And we just basically have to turn it over to God. Let go and let God, as somebody has said. And sometimes that's what happens. We talked about Luke chapter 11 when after Jesus had prayed, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then we looked at the model prayer. And then he talks about that story of the neighbor at midnight and the persistence of keeping on knocking. We don't typically like to wait, do we? Anybody here like to wait 1 hour before you go in to eat at a restaurant? I don't know what your time frame is, but 1 hour is too much. Unless I've got a lot of time to work well. You know, and company has something to say with it as well. But, you know, I'm not that patient in regards to something. I don't want to, you know, we were somewhere the other day and it was going to be 1.5 hour wait. There was going to be, I think, 19 of us. We didn't stay. We didn't want to wait that long. Maybe you do, and maybe you can teach me something. The serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes God says you need to have patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Don't become sluggish, but through faith and patience inherit the promises. The virtues, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Add to your patience godliness. Greg. That's a good point.
God.
Yes, ma'am. You're talking about Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. Okay,
yes.
Zacharias.
I think that's the answer. Your prayer has been answered. And in addition to that, you're going to receive a child.
Okay, okay. And so you're saying maybe he saved it to that moment when he was in the temple. Appreciate the comment. Wendell Winkler makes the statement that prayer changes things, but most importantly, prayer changes me. We look at it differently. And we talked about positions in prayer. If you're on the ground in prayer, or if you're on your knees, or wherever the case may be, things may look a little different. Again, based upon how critical the need is, the despair of the moment, whatever the case may be. And so we aren't people of patience, but sometimes God may say, wait a while, because we, as was said, we can't handle it at that moment. Our prayers are become greater in depth and less shallow whenever certain things happen. You were going to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was also, thinking that if you're
PTP, there was a black brother that preached on a lesson, 10 prayers that God will always answer. I wish we could have time to get to that one, but it was pretty interesting. Renee hadn't thought about it that way. But he said, here are 10 prayers or things that you pray for that God will always answer. So maybe in your mind, you might think about what that list is. Okay, when God says, wait a while, and then gives us that which we have been asking for, what should our response be? Ma'am?
Thankfulness?
Thankfulness?
Well, you don't know God said wait a while until it comes.
That's a good point.
Initially, God in your mind is saying no. And you've got to learn to accept the no because it's on his time. And you don't realize that he's saying wait a while because he don't send you a letter or a phone call or a text and says, hey, just wait on this a little while, Kim, and I'll get to it in about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't know that he said wait a while.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the key of knowing how to accept what might seem like a no initially to get the way
off. Okay.
Hey, Don.
Sure, yes, sir. And I was there when you brought him into North Carolina, and what a great, beautiful blessing it was. And that baby kept on being passed from place to person to person, wasn't it?
Hey, Don,
yes.
The challenge for us too is because that answer may not come until some time later, is being able to see that the prayer was answered.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
It's hard for us to, with that time, to see that.
Yes. When God says, wait a while, we need to thank him for listening. We need to thank him for the blessings he's given us. And just like the other, we should exalt and lift up his name in prayer and in life. And then finally, when God says no, in essence, what should we do? Well, there's a reason. We may not necessarily see it. Sometimes there's a reason that we can see. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, those that didn't come out of Egypt, it says it was because of their unbelief. That was their reason. That's why they didn't make it, because they didn't believe in God. Sometimes chastisement, discipline comes. If you want to read that, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Because it may be that God is discipline us for what we're about to receive. And it may be good and it may be not so good, but that may be a part of it. God said no to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 because of the child born to him and Bathsheba, which was not his wife. In chapter 12, verse 14, it says, your enemies have blasphemed God because of what you've done. So God said no to his prayer. I'm not going to allow this child to live because while you have done this, people have blasphemed me because of it. That was the reason. It may be the wrong reason that we're asking for. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your pleasures. And then I guess the one that we look at the most is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to look there, you talk about Paul and his thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He starts out in that chapter by talking about being able to see something that no one else had ever seen, that he was caught up into the third heaven. Seems to be the idea of the Apostle Paul. The third heaven is where God is. And he was able to see something that mortal man living there would not be able to see because only spirit beings are there. And so when you're able to come down from there, the Bible suggests the idea that verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, what I had seen, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, because of what he had the ability to see, God says, okay, lest you think of yourself too great, I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh. It seems to be some type of physical malady. Some talk about maybe him having eyesight problems, malaria. Over in the book of Galatians, he talks about, with such a big hand, you've seen me sign this letter, suggesting that, you know, folks who can't see too well write in big letters, right? And so that may have been that it was malaria, an eyesight problem. Whatever it was, we don't really know. But notice what he does there. The Bible says that, verse 8, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, no. This thorn in the flesh, you're going to have to live with. This problem, whatever it was, you're going to have to deal with. Notice the response of Paul in verse 9. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, when God says no, and I have to deal with this, I'm going to glory. I'm going to honor him, even in the midst of my pain, even in the midst of my suffering. He's the one that made the statement, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. So if he had that kind of body, and he had that kind of illness, and he had that kind of affliction, he says, I'm going to glory. That in the midst of all this, I know there's a better place waiting for me, and I'm going to honor God even in the midst of my suffering. Many years ago, our North had the Gospel Hour, they called it. Was that what it was on TV? There in Nashville, the worship services. And Ira North came down with one of the worst kinds of cancer ever. And some people have said, how in the world could God allow such a grand child of his, a great gospel preacher, to suffer with this? And Brother North supposedly made the answer, maybe it's just for the purpose of being able to honor God, even in the midst of my cancer journey. And so that's what he did. And there are others that you know of. Folks in this congregation that died singing the praises of God. I had a friend, many of you know Tim, and Tim, in the last moments of his life, said, Satan may have won the battle, but he lost the war. His point was, this cancer, this brain cancer, is going to take my life, but I've remained faithful to God to the very end. And he's lost the ultimate war. He has not won me. Cancer won me over, but I remain faithful to God. And that's what we need to do at the very end. Thank God for what he has. Yes, sir. Very true. Very true. Very true. Thank you so very much. I wish we had more time for this, but thank you so much for your kind comments and for the comments tonight as well. And I hope that it will continue in our lives to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Thank you.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our Wednesday night services. I'd like to welcome especially our visitors who are here with us tonight. In Florence Nursing and Rehab, Marva Forsythe is in room 507. In Glenwood Rehab, Doug West Webster is in there, but I don't have a room number. At NAMCE, Millie Van Dyke is in room 4409. And Bill Bajens is in NAMCE as well after having a leg amputation. If anyone's interested in being a leader and joining our youth at CYC, February 23rd to the 26th, please sign the sheet on the youth bulletin board located outside in the foyer. Congregation is invited to the Johnsons for a Christmas open house, 10 a.m. to noon, this Saturday, December the 3rd. Everyone is invited to come and go as they please. Sunday, December the 4th, following evening services, will be the cradle roll through 6th grade Christmas party in the Lighthouse. Monday, December the 5th, Heart Moms and Daughters will be meeting in the family room at 6:30. Bring a wrapped $10 ornament. It says, we will have Sunday night services on December 25th at 5 as always, but we will do a service of prayer, Bible reading, and singing. Also, if you have not picked up your hockey ticket, see Dwayne for those tickets, please. And our church Christmas-wide party is December the 11th in the Fellowship Hall following evening services. You'll bring finger foods, desserts, and drinks. And if you want to decorate a table, please see Ginger and let her know that. That's all the announcements. We'll begin our Wednesday night.
Our new classes begin this coming Sunday, and so we wanted to let you know about what's going to be going on. And Sunday morning, the young professionals will have Cal Dixon talking on the subject of prayer. In the auditorium, Mark Willingham will be teaching about the miracles of Jesus. And the 49ers will have Greg Elrod teaching that class on selected proverbs. And also on Sundays, Austin Johnson in the family room will be offering a personal evangelism class. So if you're interested in being a part of that, that will meet in the family room down that direction. The ladies will have Kathy Shelton teaching their class on everyday Christian living. So that's on Sundays. On Wednesday nights, the young professionals will have Austin teaching that class on powerful words of Christianity. And in the auditorium class, Ken Van Horn will be teaching the class here in the auditorium on the parables of Jesus. So keep those in mind and hope that you'll want to be a part of them. Also, we're glad to announce that Anthony and Courtney Myers are now house parents at the Children's Home. And they came on board a week ago Tuesday, and they have some girls with them in the Kent home, and so we're so happy about that. And the day before then, on Monday, we got new house parents for the other girls' home. So all three finally, after 2 years, are not completely filled, but at least have people in each of the three homes. And for that, we are very grateful. To say a good word to Anthony and Courtney, they're doing a good job, and we're grateful for them.
Let's stand as we sing number 718. We'll sing this through twice and then have our message for the evening. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor dominion unto the Lamb.
We sing the song of love. We shall assemble. Good evening. It's an honor to be here, giving you a message from Word of God, and it's a pleasure. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one of those burdens. The importance of that scripture is the words, bear one of those burdens. My mom and I were talking a month ago about the importance of how Christians should share their personal experiences and how that can help other people. My siblings and I, we grew up remotely going to church faithfully and going to and participating in church services and last leaders and all that good stuff. But as I got older, they started to drift away from the congregation. You see, I share that to encourage you because I know how it is to be afraid and to be uncomfortable, be awkward to talk about your personal experiences. But Jesus Christ, he gave us the church. He gave us each other so that we can create a safe haven for each other, but also be inviting to those who live for the world. Now, I'm not saying to share your life story to everybody, but what I'm saying is if you see someone or hear somebody going through the same thing that you went through or something similar, is to share that piece of advice if needed. Support them if they need it, and to be there for them when they need you to. In one of my sermons that I preached, I read 1 John 3:18, and it goes, dear children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action or in truth. One of the ways we can show our love is by being there for our brothers and sisters and show compassion to those who are in need. And by sharing life stories with them when they need us to. So if you need any support, any encouragement, come forward. I was standing as we sang.
Glory, 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 glory to see everybody back on Sunday. In closing tonight, we'll sing A Common Love. We'll sing the first verse of that, and then be dismissed in closing prayer.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common mind, holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
God, our Father, we want to glorify your name. It's a song we just sung. Glorify your name. Almighty God, how wonderful it is to be able to worship you and come before you. We ask that we will dismiss ourselves and always put you forward in your praise and your honor. That in our lives that people may see you, may see your Son, may see the love that comes from you. Help us to be stronger in our ability to show your love. Please be with those that are mentioned that have physical ailments. Please be with Brother Bajans and the doctors and those caring. Please be with Millie and this test that she will be having, that all will be well with her and the doctors. God, we always ask that your will be done, that we will be your servants as we go about from this place, that we will be strong in our life of showing that you are the leader, you are the controller of our life, that no one or no thing controls us other than you and your word as you work in us as your instruments. Thank you for the ability to have a place like this to come together as your people, as your children, and to say, we love you, God, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.